From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justified, a two-length lead as they come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming real quiet. He's a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Far outside, a lead run from Giacomo. Giacomo surging, a fleet Alex, closing argument. Giacomo in the final drive to win Derby 131.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you as always for the next couple of hours, and very happy to have all of you tuning in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and all of you listening digitally at horseracingradio.net. You know, for the past 17 years, we have opened this particular show on this particular Saturday morning by saying, Happy Derby Day. But instead, I start this program today by saying that we are 127 days, 9 hours, 46 minutes, and 53 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, September 5th, the first Saturday in September, at Churchill Downs. So bizarre. You know, normally we would have completed all three of our Derby Countdown shows by now. We would have broadcast the Kentucky Oaks yesterday, and we'd be looking forward to what it would be a spectacular Derby Day here in the Bluegrass. People would be having Derby parties all across the country. And unfortunately, because of the situation we're in with our world, that will have to wait until September. And that's okay. That'll have to be okay. But I can tell you that we are only 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 52 seconds away from the first ever HRRN Fantasy Derby. That comes your way this afternoon, post time for our first Fantasy Derby, 5:50 Eastern. And our coverage, presented by Claiborne Farm, comes up from 5 to 6 Eastern time. If you haven't seen the field yet, by the way, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. It's all there. 20 of the most legendary Kentucky Derby winners of all time are going to compete in a quarter-mile test to determine once and for all who is the greatest of all time. And that field includes 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners. NBC announcer Larry Colmus will have the call for us later this afternoon. I'll be joined by Kurt Becker in the booth, so to speak. Tom Leach, the voice of the UK Wildcats. Bobby Newman. And Anthony Stabile, the Big A. All part of our broadcast team this afternoon from 5 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in, Sirius 219, XM 201. Affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Tulsa, Oklahoma, all across the country. Make sure you do that and visit horseracingradio.net to see all that information. But prior to this Fantasy Derby broadcast, because it is Kentucky Derby Day, we're going to re-air, bring you a special replay of our 2014 broadcast of California Chrome winning his Kentucky Derby. That will air from 3 to 5 Eastern on many of those same stations and Sirius 219 XM 201. You can also stream all of this, by the way, basically a 3-hour block of Derby Day programming from 3 to 6 this afternoon here on Horse Racing Radio Network. You can stream it, too, at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of ways to get your Derby Day fix. I have had people email me and tell me that they are actually planning a Derby Day party as usual, and they'll be tuning in to that Fantasy Derby, and I'm sure California Chrome's Kentucky Derby broadcast as well. So make sure you do that. Going to be joined at 8:15 Eastern after my first commercial break this morning by Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. Johnny V is going to be aboard Animal Kingdom, his Derby winner, in the Fantasy Derby. And he'll break from post position number one in that 20-horse field. After we drew post positions last week, Graham Motion, trainer of Animal Kingdom, was tweeting that he wanted a redraw. Wasn't happy about drawing the rail with Animal Kingdom. Bob Baffert's two horses, his two Triple Crown winners, drew side by side. Justify in post position 9, American Pharoah in post 10. Bob Baffert was texting with me after I sent him the draw sheet. And he said, man, I hate when my horses draw next to each other. But at least I didn't draw the rail. Which, that is something that Bob Baffert has had happen to him before in the Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, it goes to Animal Kingdom in the Fantasy Derby. So everybody is into this, which is so cool. And I can't thank all the connections enough. Alan Sherman, who is going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern this morning, he and his dad, Art, trained California Chrome. He's going to look back on Chrome's victory in the Kentucky Derby in 2014. And Alan was talking a little smack via the text message too. But he has Bill Shoemaker aboard California Chrome for this Fantasy Derby. Remember, it was Victor Espinoza who won the Derby with him. But Victor, we left him on American Pharoah as Triple Crown winner. So I texted Alan and I said, who do you want for Chrome? And Bill Shoemaker was available. Didn't have him out in the Fantasy Derby. So he picks up the Hall of Famer. And I'll talk to Alan Sherman coming up at 8:35 about that. By the way, John Velasquez is also going to talk about the Arkansas Derby. There is a Derby today, an actual Derby being run. It is the Arkansas Derby. They've split that into two divisions. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But Johnny's going to talk about riding Gouverneur Morris for Todd Pletcher in the first division of the Arkansas Derby. He'll also be aboard Tacitus in the Oakland Handicap. We'll try to get to Tacitus with him as well. So you got Johnny V at 8:15, Alan Sherman 8:35. At 9 o'clock Eastern, Tom Leach, the voice of the UK Wildcats, is going to be with me here to share his thoughts on the Fantasy Derby field and to share his Kentucky Derby Day memories. There have been plenty for Eclipse Award winner Tom Leach, and I'll talk to him coming up 9 Eastern. Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, set to join me 9:25. As I mentioned, our coverage of the Fantasy Derby this afternoon from 5 to 6 is presented by Claiborne, and they have been such a wonderful supporter. So I'm going to talk to Walker at 9:25. This has been Secretariat Week, too. We're wrapping up Secretariat Week here on HRN. We've been sharing memories of Big Red throughout the week. You've heard on various programs, you've heard clips of his biggest victories, and there were many of those. And you've heard interviews with people looking back on Secretariat. So maybe I'll get Walker to talk about Secretariat for a minute, too. Don't forget, too, you can go to our website, and you can do it right now, to enter our HRRN Fantasy Trifecta Contest. You can take your shot at selecting the winning trifecta for today's Fantasy Derby in exact order. No boxing. It's got to be in exact order. And all correct entries are going to receive a prize pack courtesy of HRN and Claiborne Farm. It's all free to play. You go to the website. The only catch is you have to get your entry in by 5:45 Eastern. Again, post time for our Fantasy Derby is 5:50. So 5:45 Eastern is when you need to have those entries in. That's the deadline. Anything after that doesn't count. One entry per valid email address, and you can go see the entire field in post position order. You can view BristNet PPs on our website and on our Twitter page. Again, horseracingradio.net is where you can enter that contest. Question of the day. What is your favorite Kentucky Derby Day memory? What is your favorite Kentucky Derby Day memory? Mine goes back to 1998. My wife and I were engaged. It was our first Kentucky Derby we ever attended, and I popped the question. I'm not sure to this day that she actually said yes. There was a lot of oh my gods, oh my gods, oh my gods. I don't know if she actually said yes. But it was before the days of social media and everything, so nobody caught it on video, so we don't know. But we've been married 21 years, so I guess that worked out pretty well. So that's probably my favorite Kentucky Derby Day memory, 1998. How about you? What's your favorite Kentucky Derby Day memory? Go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let me know. All right, going to go ahead and get to our first commercial break. We will talk about the Arkansas Derby throughout the program here this morning. We'll do it next with Hall of Famer John Velasquez, but he'll also talk about his strategy of riding Animal Kingdom from the rail in a 20-horse Fantasy Derby field later today. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at FarmPaint.com. That's FarmPaint.com.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Spendthrift Farms' popular Safe Bet program is back for 2020, featuring freshman sires Brody's Cause, Cinco Charlie, and Hit It A-Bomb. Breed to one of these stallions and watch their first crop of two-year-olds have greatest stakes success on the racetrack this year, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born in 2021. To learn more about the Safe Bet program, visit SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Shackleford who still leads. Here's Nero on the outside, and Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside who goes the lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lanes and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby. Nero in second. In third came Mucho Macho Man. In fourth was Shackleford. And then Master of Hounds, Santiva, Brilliant Speed. And then Pants on Fire and Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion and John Velasquez who took Derby 137.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here in the month of May. What a performance that afternoon by Animal Kingdom in 2011. Mark Johnson had the call for you there. Animal Kingdom won 5 of 12 lifetime starts. He earned more than $8.3 million. And Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez was aboard that day, maybe the greatest pickup mount in the history of the sport. Remember, it was supposed to be Robbie Alvarado, but he was injured. Johnny picks up the mount. He wins with Animal Kingdom. And Johnny is with me now to talk about the strategy he might employ later today when he rides Animal Kingdom in the Fantasy Derby against some of the greatest of all time, and he'll have to do it from the rail in the 20-horse field. Johnny, first of all, I know you're in Arkansas. I know you're up early to join me. Thanks for taking a little time, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, okay, so you listened to the call of Animal Kingdom, and I know you probably watched it a million times and heard it on radio a million times, but you listened to that call. What are some of the first things that immediately come to mind for you?
Oh, my God, just to give you a goose. Goosebumps just to listening to it, you know, just to going through the thinking about the race and and how everything works out in the race when, you know, they just pick up a horse in the Kentucky Derby, but, you know, and thinking about it and listening to it is just brings great memories. I mean, you know, great feelings, and I don't know, it just brings a lot of joy.
Do you still go back and watch the replay of that race from time to time?
From time to time, you know, it's funny because I don't normally go and see it, but I get to see people put replays and stuff like that, and I get to remind you, and I get to watch them, you know. But for me to go back and see it just because, okay, let me go and watch it, I don't, you know. But I get to watch it just because all the people posted it in social media and stuff like that. So obviously, being the racetrack and when they are putting past races and on the TV and stuff like that, so you get to watch it, yeah.
You know, I can remember asking Mike Smith one time about what it's like for a jockey to cross the finish line first in the Kentucky Derby, and he said, Johnny, that there's almost a moment of silence when everything almost goes quiet for a split second, and then this unbelievable power that hits you when the crowd noise just erupts. And he said it's a feeling that's very difficult to describe, but he put it in those words. So how about for you, the feeling for a jockey to cross the finish line first beneath the Twin Spires? What's it like?
Listen, it is true, though. You know, it's like the first thing that went through my mind when I got to the wire, right when I got to the wire, it's like, oh, my God, I just won the Derby. And the second thing was like, did I bow anybody? I was just like, please let me not bow anybody. That was the second thing. It's just the weird things that people think overcomes, like, please don't let I bow anybody in the race. You know, because the race, it was so rough riding, you know, and it was a couple of spots that I had it push through it, you know, and I got the spot because thankfully he responded to things that I wanted to do. And the second thought that's the first, please just let me not, I didn't bother anybody, though, you know, when I went to take those spots, you know, and then realize that, you know, okay, just enjoy the moment, you know, and then all of a sudden you can hear the crowd, it opens up, though, you know. So it's very surreal that really, you know, like, it's just things that come to your mind, it's like, man, I just won the Derby. And for, at least for me, I was like, oh, and then the second moment, it was like, I got scared. Like, oh, please, let's not be that I bow somebody. but then you realize, like, I just won the Derby. Oh, my God. So just go enjoy it and feel the crowd and feel, you know, at the moment with you, you know. So it was incredible.
Was the feeling or the thoughts that went through your head the second time you won it in 2017 with Always Dreaming, was it any different than winning it with Animal Kingdom?
So it was much different with me at that point. I mean, I was riding Always Dreaming going into the Derby, though, you know, and going through the preparations and seeing the horse developing and going to the Derby and the way he was training, all that stuff. So the emotions that were much involved with the horse, though, you know, like I got there with the horse and knowing how he was working and everything that we planned, it works out so perfectly, you know, with him and winning it. So from that moment, the second time, once I got to enjoy it a lot better, meaning that I actually won it with the horse that I just was, you know, got there with, you know, into the Derby. And knowing that, you know, in the position that I was, nothing came to my head about, wow, I didn't think I bowed anybody, you know. So I think I was more confident than anything else with Always Dreaming. And I got to enjoy a lot better, I think, a lot faster, let's put it that way, than anything else the first time. So, you know, so, and plus, you know, I picked up the horse with Animal Kingdom. So it was hard to celebrate, though, you know. It was hard to, you know, I know one of my guys was taken off the horse, and not at my fault, but, you know, I mean, I'd be on the other end as well, but this time I was the one in the good end that I ended up winning. And so, you know, out of respect of one of my colleagues, so you kind of celebrate, but it's a little bit, it was dull, let's put it that way. But it was a dream, yeah. I could let go, I could let enjoy it, I could, you know, really enjoy the moment. So very different, yes.
Yeah, as you were saying that, it made me think of that movie Major League, where there's the line that says, you don't celebrate in front of guys that just died. And now Robbie Alvarado thankfully didn't die, but he lost the mount because of injury, so you picked it up. But yeah, it's tough. You don't want to act too exuberant because of the fact that you do have a colleague who wasn't able to participate. But then again, this is a monumental moment for you, and you have to celebrate, and you have to be happy for yourself, for your family, and for everything that your dedication and your life's work too. That's a fine line.
But absolutely. You know, I celebrate. I was a dog celebrating and everything. And obviously with the connections with Greg Norton and the family, the connections, his family, my family, and it was great. I mean, it's like, so, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and our kids went to school together and all that stuff. So just having it with somebody that you really care, it makes it very special too.
You know, one thing that makes John Velasquez such a great Hall of Fame jockey is that he always, always does his homework. He always preps for any race that he's going to ride. And, Johnny, I know you did that for this Fantasy Derby that we're conducting later this afternoon. And Animal Kingdom yeah. drew the rail. I sent you the entries last week, the draw sheet. And you and I had a text conversation. And you said, listen, if I'm going to talk about this, I need to be prepared. And I need to know the running styles of all the other older horses that I didn't get to see race. So, all right, tell me, how are you going to handle this with Animal Kingdom going against this stellar field breaking from the rail?
Wow. So this is probably, obviously, looking back and looking at every horse here, what an incredible field. I mean, this is something that every fan or every jockey, every owner would love to see something like this put together. It's a special derby. Obviously, looking at the replays, some of them are very, especially they're very old replays, you know, where you try to pick up where the winners and the style of running is. So some of them are pretty hard, you know, but I mean, obviously with my horse, knowing the style of my horse, he didn't have a lot of speed coming out of the gate. But I would do the same thing, you know, I would do the same thing that I told Graham to Derby. We got to come out running and try to get some sort of position where we're comfortable. He broke a little bit slow, and I had to send him out of there until I passed the wire for the first time and to get a position that I was comfortable with. And once I did that, he was comfortable. I mean, there is a lot of speed in this bunch here, and obviously really, really good horses. So it would have worked out a little better, meaning that it would spread the field a lot more than where I rode the Derby with Animal Kingdom. With that much speed in here, it's incredible. There's some really fast horses. I mean, even going to the Philly, you know.
Winning Colors.
What's the name?
Winning Colors.
Exactly. Or Admiral. I think it was Admiral CTI. I've looked at it. He was on the lead as well. There is incredible speed. But what... After I looked at all the replays and everything, justify with another speed, you know, American Pharoah would be close to the lead, and but it's incredible that the speed and these horses. So, but looking at the replays, after looking at all the replays and everything, I love to follow Secretariat. You know, the kind of ride he got, after him. Got an incredible ride. I mean, for a kid going into, you know, a Kentucky Derby and with that much pressure, wow. I mean, I was impressed the way he rode that horse. Pony Sight, would it be closed? Barbado, should it be closed? I definitely, another one that I thought he rode a really good race, although moved a little bit soon, it was still in the silence. I would definitely stick my horse, try to follow Secretariat, and tell you right now, I'm looking at all the horses now.
Secretariat would be a good one to follow.
Yeah,
Secretariat would be a good one to follow, especially if you can finish the way he did. It.
Yes, and Secretariat, they were incredible, the way the rides were. I said Astern, but I definitely, the position that Secretariat had, it was my kind of... I kind of look into the race with the style of run Animal Kingdom had, you know. I would have tried to come out running and going, you know, definitely try to place my horse right behind Secretary and try to, you know, to hold my position. At Fernwood, it'd be a little forward than at Secretariat as well, and Alicida. So all those horses, California Chrome, another horse would have been close as well to the lead. So, you know, I mean, if it works out the way it looks in this and paper, you know, it would be so much speed that you know they're going to come back at you though pretty quickly. So I like the way the Secretariat win the race. I like the way Affirm was sitting very, very chilly, laying third, fourth, going to the backstretch. So I would have picked definitely the Secretariat and a spectacular beat the way they actually they run the race. And hopefully you can get to the spot, though. get into a spot that's important, that you can hold your spot. And obviously, everything I asked for Animal Kingdom that day, it was incredible. You know, he was pretty easy. He handled everything really, really well. It would be a dream trip if that's how you work it out in the race, though. You know, so. I think that definitely with that much speed that they have to come back to you. You know, they cannot keep running on that speed that they were running those horses and on the lead. I think I would have to give it a hard time to Secretariat. You know what I mean?
There you go. How good is Johnny V? Listen to that. I mean, he went back and watched replays of so many of these horses just to come on and do this interview talking about riding in this fantasy derby. Spectacular stuff, Johnny, and really appreciate you doing your homework and taking me through that race. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have the coverage 5 to 6 Eastern this afternoon. It's all presented by our friends at Claiborne Farm. I do want to ask you about a real derby taking place, and that's the Arkansas Derby, and you're going to ride Gouverneur Morris in there. Look, Todd Pletcher knows how to win this race. He's won it more than any other trainer, and he's as good as it gets when it comes to getting a horse ready for a big race. Gouverneur Morris, second choice on the morning line in that first division of the Arkansas Derby. Tell me a little bit about Gouverneur Morris.
So, I mean, at least with him, he can break better. Last time I didn't break as good as one, and they didn't go very fast. And then I got into a spot that, you know, kind of lost my position going to the first turn. And he's a little bit tricky. Why? Because you don't want to put him too much into the bridle, but, and then he moves too soon, and then you have nothing, you know, to finish with. So anyway, I got into a spot that I didn't want to be in, and I was trying to follow the favor, and the horse next to me, he had half a lane in front of me, and he just kept coming out, and kind of squeezed me out of my spot, going to the half of my pole, and they got away from me. They got away from me fast. I mean, like, just like my horse dropped a bit, and a crucial time, though, really, though, you know, because I'm supposed to go on forward right there and hold my position, just like I was trying to do. We're talking about the Derby, the Kentucky Derby. When you don't get to hold your position, you lose your position in a crucial part of the race. I mean, it's bad. And then that's what happened right there. You know, I mean, there was a spot that he got a little squeeze of it, lost his position, and now I'm trying to hold it in there, and he didn't respond. And then all of a sudden, they got away from him. And then they had to get after him, you know, right past the half of my goal. And he got to run him, got it to go outside the horses, and he came running down the lane. You know, that's still the spot that he should have been in. I mean, I don't think I would have won the race. I think he definitely would have been a close second. I mean, the way they opened up around the second turn, we dropped like 6-7 lengths around the turn, and the winners actually opened up pretty easy. But I think he would have run much better. I think that would be the kind of the ride that I like to have here Saturday. So going back to the race, one speed on the race, that's the only problem. I think the other horse scratched. I'm got to go back and see the really speed on the race. I don't have the scratches here completely. But anyway, I hope that the race comes back the way I think that it's going to go whole. It's going to go fast enough. And I want to keep my position, and hopefully if my horse helped me, Connors more, to help the position that I like to hold on to. You know, if I can hold on for that spot and get to the half a mile pole, I think we have a really, really good chance. So then again, I just hope that he does help me to do the things that I wanted to do. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble, though, you know. So, I mean, just like it happens in Gulfstream Park. Charlatan will be the only speed in the race, I think. Is that if he, no one goes with him, and then it will be very, very difficult to beat him. So, I'm hoping that Peter Miller's horse shows a little bit of speed. I think I heard Shooter Shot was going to scratch. I'm not sure. He was the second speed in the race.
Yeah, he had a little bit of early foot.
Yeah. So that's about it. You know, I got to come out running and try to hold my position no matter what. You know, that's the only speed in the race, and I hate for me to do the dirty job, if you will, trying to follow the horse and then have nothing to fight the rest of the horses. So, it also developed the way I like things.
Yeah. One thing's for sure, Johnny. If somebody can figure this thing out and find a way to the winner's circle, it's going to be you. And you've done it so many times in your Hall of Fame career. And listen, you're always so gracious with your time with me, and I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking about the Fantasy Derby and Gouverneur Morris and the Arkansas Derby. I know you're going to be aboard Tacitus in the Oakland Handicap. I have to get to another commercial break, so we don't have time to talk about him, but you'll ride him for the first time. Good luck with Tacitus. Good luck with Gouverneur Morris.
Thank you.
And
yeah,
as
thank
always,
you.
My friend, safe trip every time you get a leg up.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Thank you, buddy. John Velasquez here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Just a fantastic. You talk about a guy that preps tirelessly for his races. And he does this for every race that he's in. I've seen him do it. And he's walked me through so many races in the past. And I could listen to him do it all day long when he starts getting into the strategy. And he puts you there in his head as if you're riding with him, so to speak. It's, boy, just fantastic stuff. Thanks to Johnny for taking the time. And like all of our guests, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, it is time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington, which, by the way, should be opening up shortly within the coming weeks. Looking forward to that. The service department continues to be open at the Lexus store, so make sure you stop out and see them if there's anything you need over the next couple of weeks. And pretty soon, the godfather, Tony Attiano, will be back to talk some horse racing with you. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When I come back, Alan Sherman will join me to talk about California Chrome.
On Saturday afternoon, August 31st, 1955, at Washington Park in the suburbs of the Windy City, Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, two giants of the world of thoroughbred racing were about to square off in a rubber match, as it were. Each had defeated the other during the year, and the arguments amongst fans and horsemen alike had been raging all year long as to which one indeed was the best, Nashua or Swaps. Nashua, the son of Nasrullah, was racing in the colors of Belair Stud, was conditioned by the venerable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and had the crafty, wily, hard-nosed heady Eddie Arcaro in the saddle. Swaps, that year's Kentucky Derby winner, in which he whipped Nashua, by the way, was owned by Rex Ellsworth, trained by Mish Tenney, and had the services of Willie Shoemaker as his reinsman. The two stellar stalwarts were equally weighted, and the distance was 1 1/4 miles. The strategy was put forth in the paddock as follows. Fitzsimmons told Arcaro to, quote, keep the other horse busy all the way and let the best horse win, unquote. Tenney told Shoemaker, quote, save a little horse at all times and run when you have to. Ride him as you always have, unquote. The track surface at Washington that day was on the slow side and drying out, and that, as it turned out, was most probably a key factor in the race itself. Nashua, breaking from post two, went away very quickly under solid urging from Arcaro and assumed an early lead. Swaps, breaking from post four, was hustled up by Shoemaker, who had none of Arcaro's attempted ploy, and they were both soon side by side. They were right together, with Nashua holding the slightest of leads as they went the first quarter in 23 flat, the half in 46 flat, and the first six panels in 1, 10, and 2. On down the backside and on into the turn, they remained exactly the same. Between the 3/8 pole and the quarter pole, smack in the middle of the turn, it appeared Swaps was ready to make his big move. As they came off the top of the turn to the straight, the wily Arcaro took Nashua out off the rail just a little bit to find a more solid footing, and Shoemaker had a choice to make. to either drop down to the fence where the going was deep and tiring, or to go to the overland route. Schumacher opted to take his mount out and around, if indeed he could. Well, by this time, Nashua had opened a clear lead and Swaps was a beaten horse. Nashua continued to increase his margin through the final 3/16ths to ultimately cross the wire, a 6.5-length winner in a final time of 2:04-1 in the deep going. The key to the race was, without any shadow of the doubt, the impeccable strategy of Arquero, who lived up to the fullest his reputation as a master reinsman, and the affectionate moniker of Eddie Eddie. Every time Shoemaker had let Swaps put a notch on the backside and into the far turn, Arquero had responded in kind with Nashua, and that stratagem on the turn, when forcing Swaps out some, was the work of a true artist in the saddle. After the race, Shoemaker said he felt Swaps did not take a liking to the track condition and surface, and it was later learned that his right foreleg, on the foot of which he wore a protective leather pad between frog and shoe, had gone lame. Nevertheless, the score had been settled the way it should have been, on the racetrack, against each other, August 31st, 1955, Washington Park in the Windy City. A great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top Son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I'm listening to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And California Chrome makes his move for the lead. It is California Chrome on the outside. Samrod runs it in with the eight pole. California Chrome. It is California Chrome in front, and from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second, but California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. Commanding Curve was second, and then came Ganza in third. The
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. Mike Penna, Baron in the backstretch, with you in my home studio. My producer, Lee Delapina, is in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and that was Larry Colmus with the call of the 2014 Run for the Roses, California Chrome, shining bright in the Kentucky Derby, and he was oh so good. Still the richest Kentucky Derby winner of all time, and that's welcome news to my next guest, who is Alan Sherman. He and his dad, Art, guided California Chrome through that tremendous campaign, and Alan with me now here on HRRN. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing this morning? It's always nice
I'm
to hear
good,
that
man.
Call.
Yeah, how cool was that?
I know. It's awesome.
Yeah, special, special horse, and that was a special day. All right, so I always like to start with this question. When you listen to that call, Alan, what things are going through your mind?
Oh, boy, I just visualize the race, and I still get chills when I listen to it. I don't think that'll ever go away.
Do you remember that feeling when he crossed the finish line?
Oh, man, I was so excited. That was, you know, obviously growing up in the business, that's the one race you want to win, and to do it is it's just remarkable, the feeling you get. Just the joy, and I felt so happy for my dad to be able to do it at that point of his career. It was just a super special and fun time.
Talk a little bit about the months leading up to the Kentucky Derby, the pressure that has to build as you get closer and closer and closer, and you've got one of the primary contenders, if not the favorite.
You know, there was pressure. It's just every morning when you wake up and go to the barn, you just hope everything's okay. And then, you know, training, you hope everything goes well, no mishaps or, you know, doesn't get hurt or anything like that. But we got really lucky as far as that goes. He never missed a step, never missed a note the whole way leading up to the Kentucky Derby. the pressure was obviously there. But I think the fun outweighed the pressure.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. You know, there were so many people that were knocking California Chrome because he was a cowbred. He was by a nondescript stallion and Lucky Pulpit and, you know, the Not For Love mare. The pedigree wasn't there. Nobody said this horse, or a lot of people said this horse will never go a mile and a quarter. Forget about it. How did you deal with all the detractors as you were going through that road to the Kentucky Derby?
You know, I didn't really listen to them. I obviously, you know, you hear that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the horse never showed that he couldn't go a mile and a quarter. And none of those horses that were in the race at that stage of their career proved they could go a mile and a quarter. So, I mean, everybody's in the same boat. You might have the breeding to do it, and you might not have the breeding to do it, but I just think that that horse was a special horse. You'd say he was a freak, but he just, that horse loved what he did. No matter if he ran 4.5 furlongs or a mile and a quarter, he was going to try as hard as he could. And, you know, I think that horse probably, that race probably ranks up with one of the best derbies I've seen. It was just so special. Probably a little biased, obviously, but it was just a very special, special day and a special horse.
Yeah, he was a special horse, no doubt about it. Give people an update as to where he is right now.
He's in Japan. He's getting a lot of great mares. So I'm looking forward to actually to get some races going here in the States and seeing some of his two-year-old runs. They should have some ready to run here. And so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully they'll do well. I think if they have his heart, they'll definitely run. He's got some decent mares behind him, so hopefully it'll turn out. And he's, like I said, he's getting some great mares in Japan, and I think they're going to do really, really well with him.
How about an update on you and your dad? What are you guys up to now?
Well, I'm in Kentucky now. I'm at the Thoroughbred Training Center. training away over here. My dad's still in California. He says too cold in Kentucky. He didn't want to move here. But I was ready to get out of California, so I made the move.
Talking with Alan Sherman, son of Art Sherman. He and his dad won the Kentucky Derby in 2014 with California Chrome, and he just was sharing his thoughts. If you're just joining us, just sharing his thoughts on California Chrome and that memorable day back in 2014. Did you ever think you would train for an ownership group named Dumbass Partners?
No, that was a new name on me. I've never envisioned training on that.
All right, so California Chrome is among the 20 horses that were voted in to our Fantasy Derby field later today. And we told people at the top of the show, but people may have missed it, that we will be replaying the entire California Chrome Kentucky Derby broadcast that we did here on HRN. That will air from 3 to 5 Eastern, 5 to 6 Eastern, our Fantasy Derby broadcast presented by Claiborne Farm. California Chrome facing off with 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners, including Justify, American Pharoah, Secretariat, Seattle Slough Affirmed. He breaks from post 12. He drew very well. And I texted you and said, hey, listen, Victor was aboard. We're going to leave Victor on his Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. Which jockey would you like? And I brought up the fact that Bill Shoemaker had a tie to your dad and to Swaps and that he was available. And here we go. Bill Shoemaker is aboard California Chrome.
Oh, I couldn't have a better rider than Bill Shoemaker. He was the best.
Yeah, and look, you're 10-1 on the morning line. Our friend Jude Feld set the morning line and made you 10-1, so you got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually, to see he was only 10-1. Obviously, it's a great field of horses you guys have there, and to be 10-1 and just to be able to get in the field, I'm just proud of that.
Would California Chrome have beaten Justify and American Pharoah if they were in the same race?
Of course he would have.
How about Secretariat? Can we beat him?
The only one I don't know if he could have beat is the Secretariat.
We were having a little fun at the expense of our good friend Graham Motion in Animal Kingdom, and we were back and forth, and you said, well, I told you Graham wanted a redraw after he drew the rail, and you said, that horse would need a head start to win anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see him beating a lot of those horses.
Well, it's funny because Johnny Velasquez, who was going to ride Animal Kingdom in the Fantasy Derby, he joined me in the previous segment and walked me through the entire trip that he would have to work out from that rail draw. And, Alan, I have to tell you, you've been great about this, and there have been so many people like Bob Baffert and Johnny and Graham that have really embraced this concept of this Fantasy Derby. And I think everybody is anxious to see how it plays out later today.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. If I split the field, I'll be happy.
All right, let me ask you this question. If you could train one horse in this Fantasy Derby field, other than Secretariat and California Chrome, who's that horse going to be?
Probably Pharoah. Probably American Pharoah. But I wish Swaps would have made the list because I think he might have been the only horse that could beat Secretariat. You know, that horse had 7 world records at one time, and I don't know if any other horse has ever had that.
I love it. Just defending the home team all the way through.
That's it.
Well, brother, hey, listen, I appreciate you taking some time here and being with me to look back on Chrome, and I can't wait to replay that race later today from 3 to 5, and that moment for you and your dad was so special, the walkover, everything about it, and you were so great in granting us access to you and your dad and the entire team and to California Chrome throughout that entire Triple Crown run, and I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you taking some time here this morning.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And anytime you need a call, just, you know, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to do my best to try to get you a deer this season.
Yeah, try to put me in a stand that's got some deer, please.
I'll do my best, brother. All right. Thanks,
all
pal.
All right, buddy. Thanks. It was nice talking to you.
All right, you too. All right, that's Alan Sherman here on HRRN. And for people that don't know, Alan came up to my farm, did a little deer hunting with me this past season, and he didn't have a whole lot of luck, but we'll try to do better next year for Alan and see if we can't put him in the right spot at the right time. Yeah, California Chrome, man, that's going to be a special broadcast from 3 to 5, and then we'll see if he can do a little bit better than splitting the field in today's Fantasy Derby. All right, going to get to another break. I'll come back and tell you a little bit more about some of the horses in the Fantasy Derby. Don't forget, still to come, going to be joined by Tom Leach and Walker Hancock from Claiborne, and then I will tell you a little bit more about the Arkansas Derby today, too. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Tappert and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappert, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Tappert set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Tappert ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Tappert, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee. Like their sire, his first crop runners have excelled on both dirt and turf, including stakes winner and graded stakes performer Muskoka Gold and two-year-old stakes-winning filly Vast, with juveniles selling over $400,000 and yearlings bringing up to $650,000, the sky is the limit for this promising young stallion. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Street Sense draws alongside as they move headlong into the final furlong. And Street Sense has roared from 19th position to first in the Derby.
With a 16th to go, Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside, Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Darley Stallions, Street Sense and Nyquist put on quite a show in their respective Kentucky Derbies, both making history in the process. Street Sense became the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. Nyquist followed suit in winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile before taking the Derby and was the first unbeaten juvenile champion to win the Derby since Seattle Slough. And those memorable moments make them your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Learn more about Street Sense, Nyquist, and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Winning colors in front. Here comes 49er on the outside. Lucas and Stevens. It's a driving finish. Winning colors by a head. Wire to wire with Gary Stevens in the iron. It was 49er on the outside, coming from far back at the head of the stretch to narrow the gap and lose it by only a half length. Photos all around for the show. But Winning Colors, who defeated the boys in the Santa Anita Derby by grabbing the lead and never looking back, did the same thing in the 114th running of the Kentucky Derby. And she did it in 2:02 1/5 seconds.
That
was Dave Johnson with the call of Winning Colors, one of four Kentucky Derby winners for the coach, Dwayne Lucas. As a matter of fact, she was his first, the filly beating the boys in 1988, and a special moment. He would follow it up with Thunder Gulch winning the Derby in 95, Grindstone in 96, and Charismatic in 1999. Welcome back, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and Winning Colors among the 20 horses set to go to the post in today's Fantasy Derby here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And you can enter our Fantasy Trifecta contest by going to horseracingradio.net. All you do is select the top three finishers in exact order, no boxes, and you have until 5:45 Eastern to submit your entry to see if you can pick the top three in order in today's HRN Fantasy Derby. And so many of you have already started to do that. At HRN on Twitter is where you can weigh in on our question of the day, which is pretty simple, really. Just asking you to share your most memorable Kentucky Derby day, well, memory, your favorite Kentucky Derby day memory, probably a better way to say that. And you can do it on our Twitter feed at HRN and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. By the way, Winning Colors, when you take a look at the odds, the morning line odds for today's Fantasy Derby, big price, 60-1. She'll have her work cut out for her. One of the things that John Velasquez said earlier in the program when he joined me was, he said, boy, there's a lot of speed in that Fantasy Derby field. And there is. You have horses like Justify and Pharaoh that are going to want to be, you know, firing out from the start. Some of the older horses, if I'm not mistaken, I think Citation was a little bit of a speed ball. I have to go back and look that up, but I believe Citation, Winning Colors, had a lot of speed too. So, a lot of horses going to want to be close in that race, and Winning Colors is certainly one of them that could be up close to the lead. Mind that bird. Some people have been, well, a lot of people have been commenting on that in our Twitter feeds, and I've even received a couple of emails. How does Mind That Bird make this legendary field? Well, we asked you to vote, and he got enough votes to get well into the field. A lot of people voted for Mind That Bird as one of their 20 most memorable, most legendary Derby winners of all time. And believe it or not, he actually received three first place votes. You know how they do that with college polls where you see the number of first place votes that every team got, even if they're ranked 20th or whatever it is. He got three first place votes, didn't Mind That Bird. So a lot of people liking Mind That Bird in this spot, and we'll see if he can pull off another shocker under Calvin Burrell. We know he knows how to win the Kentucky Derby. We'll see if Mind That Bird can pull it off later today in that Fantasy Derby. Before we get into hour number two, Tom Leach, the voice of the UK Wildcats, will join me. 9 o'clock Eastern. Walker Hancock going to be here from Claiborne. Looking forward to that visit. And then some comments about the Arkansas Derby, too. Our Calling All three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift comes up in the second half of the show, as does our Four Roses Bourbon visit, monthly visit with the folks at Four Roses. Brent Elliott is the master distiller. He's going to join me live this morning to tell you what's happening at the distillery through this COVID-19 pandemic and some of the things they're doing to deal with it moving forward. But I made a trip to Woodford Feed in Versailles a couple of days ago, and I had to pick up a few supplies, and they are absolutely by far the greatest. They are doing things a bit differently now. They are still open. You can't go into the store. They are not allowing people into the store because of the coronavirus, but you line up outside, and the team at Woodford Feed, look, they are so good. They're coming out and they're taking your orders, or you can phone your order in. It makes it even easier if you call them first and phone your order into Woodford Feed and then just come by and pick it up. But the way they're handling it, I sat there. I was about the third car in line, and I just watched them. I watched their team work, and they're doing it in unprecedented fashion, and they're doing it very, very well. And I can't thank them enough for all of their efforts and doing everything they can to keep this thing rolling for all the farms and for all the people that need supplies at Woodford Feed. So well done, guys. I appreciate it. Keep that up. And don't forget, Tony's of Lexington, Tony's of Cincinnati, Tony's of Indianapolis. First of all, fantastic restaurant, but you can still support them by buying gift cards on their website so that when they do come back, you'll be able to go ahead and and support them, because they really are going to need it once the doors open back up here, hopefully soon. All right, going to get to hour number two coming up next. We'll do that right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's got a five-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
And the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses. It is Big Brown by five on the wire.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside, who goes to lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby.
It's American Pharoah in front, firing line. Dorkman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby!
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com here in the month of May. Rolling on, very busy morning. If you missed any portion of my interviews in the first half of the program with Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez or with Alan Sherman, trainer of California Chrome, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And you can enter our HRN Fantasy Trifecta contest, picking the top three finishers in exact order for today's Fantasy Derby, which is presented by Claiborne Farm. And by the way, the prize pack that you're going to receive is an HRN Claiborne prize pack. So there will be items from Claiborne Farm and from HRN for everybody that selects the correct, exact order of finish for the top three finishers in that trifecta contest at horseracingradio.net. Tom Leach is the voice of the University of Kentucky Wildcats. You hear him on the basketball coverage and the football coverage, and he is also the host of The Leach Report, which airs Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern, and he is with me now here on HRRN. Tom, you're going to be part of that broadcast this afternoon with the Fantasy Derby. You're part of our coverage with the Triple Crown every year, and this is something that's really caught fire with a lot of people.
I can understand why. As you told me about it and we started putting it together, was able to go back through old tapes, found some interviews I'd even forgotten that had that was able to contribute, and it was fun to listen to some of those things. So it was a project that got more fun as it went along. I just regret that we're doing the actual Kentucky Derby today, because about 2 weeks ago, Marty McGee of the Racing Forum tweeted out it was 1-9, it would be sunny in 75, and he would nail that. And every year, your wife Michelle and Jeff Bloom and John and I are all drowned rats for the last 4 or 5 years, and today would have been beautiful.
Hey, it's always sunny in 75 in our broadcast booth.
Yes.
That saying, it's always sunny in 75 on Derby Day, goes back to the late John Asher, who was a friend to you, friend to me, and to so many. And he would always say that. He would say, it's always sunny in 75 on Derby Day. And now this year it actually will be, and we won't have a Kentucky Derby to celebrate today.
Yeah, last time I saw John, I was actually working for Horse Racing Radio Network, covering the Stephen Foster down there at Trackside, 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be remembered on this Derby Day for sure. When you think back, Tom, and we'll talk about the Fantasy Derby here in a minute, but when you think back on your most memorable Kentucky Derbies, what are some of the moments that stand out?
They're all probably connected. I grew up in Paris, which is Bourbon County, a great home to a lot of great horse farms, Claiborne Farm probably most notably. Another was back in the 70s, Golden Chance Farm. And my first Derby I can ever remember watching, would have been 9 years old, and it was the 1970 Kentucky Derby, and my dad had bet five across on Dust Commander because he was the Bourbon County horse owned by Golden Chance Farm. And so he won, paid a big price, so that stuck in my memory. And then the first Kentucky Derby I ever had a chance to attend, I was working for the radio station in my hometown and was covering a track meet at the high school, and my boss, somebody gave him two first-floor grandstand tickets and that morning, and he came up and found me and knew I was a racing fan, and so he and I drove to the Derby, and we saw two flashes of genuine risk in the field go by from our vantage point. Between people, you could see the horses go by, but it was genuine risks here. And then the first Derby I covered in the from a media standpoint, I actually have the pass here laying on my desk I found recently, 1984, and it was won by Swale, who was the first Derby winner for Claiborne Farm. And so I had a couple of my classmates all the way through school were sons of longtime Claiborne farm manager John Sosby, and so a lot of good memories with connected with Claiborne. So it's kind of cool that the first Derby I covered was a horse owned by Claiborne that won the race.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tom Leach with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tom, people are going to hear your voice, and they're going to look at your resume, and they're going to know, they're going to associate you with the University of Kentucky, and they're going to say, well, he's a sports guy. How about horse racing? Where did this love of horse racing begin for you?
Well, I had two family connections. One was Claiborne, because as I was growing up, as I said, from first grade on, two of my classmates were John Sosby's kids, and Secretariat retired to Claiborne in 74. And so whenever you had company come to town, that was our tourist attraction in Bourbon County. You took them to see Secretariat at Claiborne Farm. So I was exposed to racing through that connection to Claiborne. And then another friend, good friend of my parents, James Brady, was the farm manager for many years at Elmendorf Farm. And so I spent a lot of time at Elmendorf Farm with the Bradys, and got exposed to a very high level of racing through those two connections of Claiborne and Elmendorf, and became a fan when I was very young.
You kept texting me and emailing me as we were getting ready for this Fantasy Derby broadcast and starting to put the concept together. And I had sent you the initial list of the 20 horses that were voted in, and Spectacular Bid is on that list. And you kept coming back to Spectacular Bid. Why was he such a special horse?
I just think he's probably the best horse. You could make the case he's the best horse that that came up one race short of the Triple Crown. You know, there's several horses on that list. He's probably, you know, he should have been a Triple Crown winner, and he was certainly one of the best horses of all time. And I think I think he if you could actually put these 20 horses that we're going to be hearing about in the Fantasy Derby later today here on HRRN, if you could actually somehow put them into a race, I think he'd be a major contender. He wasn't my favorite horse or anything like that, but just was, you know, a tremendous horse who I think probably gets a little overlooked because he didn't win the Triple Crown. You know, if NBC's doing that virtual derby with the 13 Triple Crown winners, had he won it, and there'd be, if there were 14, I think he'd probably be a major player in there.
Yeah, Jude Feld set the morning line for today's Fantasy Derby. Spectacular Bid drew post position number 6. Ronnie Franklin's going to be aboard for trainer Bud Delp. Made him 20-1 on the morning line. And a lot of people have tweeted to us and said, 20-1 on Spectacular Bid? I'll take it all day long.
Well, if you put the guy who rode him later in his career, Bill Shoemaker, if he had been able to ride him for this Fantasy Derby, he'd be bet down a lot more probably than he would be with Ronnie.
So when you look at this field, and I know we're not going to give anything away here because the race will be run later today, but when you look at this field, Tom, and you see the 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners, and you see Spectacular Bid, and you see long shots like Mind That Bird and Funny Side, for example, and Winning Colors, this field is a dream field, if you will. How do you see this race playing out a little bit?
You know, you would I've not actually kind of looked at it that closely from a standpoint of the pace scenario. Just off the top of my head, I think, you know, winning colors, you know, was gunned to the front and basically ran them off their feet to win her Derby. So I have to think she'd set the pace, and there'd be enough speed that it'd probably be a pretty hot pace. And so the winner would be coming from out of it. And Secretariat did that. He was way back in the Derby. I think that was the most amazing stat, is that every quarter mile was faster. So he was accelerating all the way through the race. And so it would be probably an ideal setup for him. You know, the bid was a horse that was, you know, not on the lead. A lot of these horses, I think, probably were very comfortable, you know, just a little bit off the pace. Of course, the thing of it is, like it frequently happens in the Derby, you know, in this race, if it actually ran, there might be a traffic jam at the first turn with, you know, half the field wanting to be one or two lengths off that fast pace. So it would definitely be a, you know, a jockey's race from that standpoint. But then, you know, coming down the stretch, you know, you certainly have to think Secretariat's going to be a major player. You know, I would think the bid. Citation, I would have to think in there, too. I just, you know, I don't, certainly it was before our time, but, you know, with what he was able to do and what people say about him, you know, he would be a major player. Seattle Sloop usually probably gets a little overlooked historically, maybe, too, coming after Secretariat.
Why do you think that is? I think you're right.
Maybe because of coming after Secretariat. Maybe that was it. Secretariat got so much attention. But still, the, you know, he was, you know, there'd only been the one in 1948. But for whatever reason, it seemed like Slough was, it took him a while to earn the respect that he deserved for whatever reason. I don't really have a good answer for that.
You know, you came up with an interesting concept. By the way, visiting with Tom Leach, voice of the UK Wildcats and part of our coverage team for the Fantasy Derby later this afternoon. But you came up with an interesting concept, I guess it was last week, where you sent me an email talking about a potential Derby that would be run for the horses that were expected to win and didn't. Horses like Holy Bull and Easy Goer, for example. To put them in the same starting gate together would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun exercise to get people's opinions on that. Alidar, Point Given, Bob Baffert, yeah. I think, still says that's the horse he was most confident in leading over, and Point Given lost the Derby. So many of the horses that came up short Easy Goer certainly has got to be right there in the mix. So I think it would just be a fun, you know, we as sports fans enjoy debating things. I think that would be a fun debate. What would be the 1-2-3 of the horses that, you know, didn't win the Derby, but, you know, some of them may have won other legs of the Triple Crown, but didn't win the Derby for whatever reason.
You know, when you think about the debates in sports, this is kind of the concept surrounding a race like the Fantasy Derby, which horse from which generation was best of all time. And, you know, we see it in golf with Tiger and Jack, you know, who would, if they were both in their prime, who would win that particular match? Or a guy like Michael Jordan and LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, if they were all in their prime and they all played against each other, who would win? Same thing in college sports, I would imagine, too, right, Tom? Which UK team was maybe better than another? Do you hear that a lot?
Yeah, there have been some, especially this year without the tournament, there were some of those kind of discussions for Kentucky, you know, 2012 versus the 2015 within the Calipari era, or 2012 versus the 96 championship team, comparing those two. So I think it's, especially when we don't have our regular sporting events at these times that we're used to having them, some of those exercises take on, I don't know if greater importance is the right word, but more, they certainly get more life, more attention, more interest, to debate some of those things, and that's, you know, part of the fun of being sports, comparing things that you can't compare. I was actually talking with somebody this week about some of these virtual exercises for horse racing. There was, I think this was in 1970, there was a virtual boxing tournament of heavyweight champions. They used some kind of computer simulation to put this together, and Rocky Marciano beat Muhammad Ali in the finals, and I think they actually showed it in theaters. Very popular. So, you know, it's been going on for a while, these kinds of exercises, and they're fun.
I know I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, and if you don't know the answer, that's fine, but have you heard any updates as to what the NCAA may be thinking with, say, college football, for example, as we start to look toward that season getting rolling in the fall?
I know there was a story recently by a reporter for the Stadium, College Football Reporter, and he has surveyed over 100 athletic directors across the country, and I think 99% of them thought there would be college football in some form, whether it would be delayed. About 15% thought it might not start until 2021. The greatest percentage thought it would start this year, but maybe not on time. And the thing, you know, with the Derby on first Saturday in September now, I'm optimistic that there will be some level of fan attendance for that, that that'll be a possibility. And, you know, if that's the case, then I think, you know, if there could be some level of attendance, then, you know, I'm kind of hopeful that by September, maybe a lot of our sports will be able to play out in front of people, if not a full house, then with, you know, maybe it's some level of separation or something, because it kind of feels like we're trending in some positive direction with some of the treatment options they're finding with a new drug and those kinds of things. Hopefully those kinds of positive developments continue, because it could certainly go the other way. But I think I told my kids and others is, just, we all can speculate right now about these things down the road later in the summer or the early fall, but so much can change on the medical front from week to week, good or bad, and could accelerate the return or push it farther back. And so it's frustrating, but I told my kids, I said, choose the optimistic side, because whatever it is, you're going to be optimistic or pessimistic a lot longer than you're going to react to the news. So choose the optimistic path. It'll be healthier.
Yeah, well said. And it seems so strange to be sitting here on the first Saturday in May and tell people that we are still 126 days, 7 hours, 31 minutes, and 24 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. It's so surreal, but that's the world that we live in right now. And no doubt we'll make it all work and come together when we do get together again on the first Saturday in September. And Tom, I hope, of course, you'll be busy with your college football commitments, but if college football isn't going, I hope that you'd be part of the team, and look forward to putting together another Kentucky Derby show whenever it happens.
I would love to do that. And who knows, that might be the end of the Triple Crown instead of the start this year.
Yeah, that's still up for debate. Who knows what's going to happen
exactly.
There. A lot of things still to come down the line here. But Tom Leach, voice of the UK Wildcats, kind enough to spend some time with me here this morning on what would be Kentucky Derby Day. Tom, appreciate the visit as always, and look forward to this Fantasy Derby later this afternoon.
Yeah, me too. I'm really looking forward to hearing that. Have a good day, Mike.
All right, see you, bud. Tom Leach here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. When I come back, I'm going to talk with Walker Hancock. I told you that all that Fantasy Derby coverage is presented by our friends at Claiborne Farm, and we've been celebrating Secretariat Week all week long here on the network. I'll talk to Walker about Secretariat. We'll talk to him about the Fantasy Derby and get his thoughts on the Great Swale, who was a Claiborne color bearer that won the Kentucky Derby for them. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
That's the thing about this horse, Whale. When they beat him, they run right on by him. But when he gets in a stretch duel with him, that's a tough son of a gun. I mean, he just, look at him. He kills the horse. He just dogs him to death. You know, he's like, that's like the boss horse. You know, you do what you have to do.
Well, you just heard from Tom Leach in the previous segment, and Tom was kind enough to provide that soundbite for us of trainer Billy Turner talking about Swell. Now, Billy Turner did not train Swell. He trained his sire, Seattle Slough, so he knew what Swell was all about. And as you heard him say, if he got into a stretch battle, he was a tough competitor. And that's welcome news to my next guest, Walker Hancock, president of Claiborne Farm. Of course, Swell raced in the Claiborne Orange Silks, and I know that was a special moment for them. He had a chance to hear from Del Hancock last week on the program, and she talked about Swell and what that moment was like. And I thought it was appropriate that we make Walker Hancock and the entire team at Claiborne, not just Walker, but the entire team, our industry star of the week on this Saturday morning because of everything that they have done for the industry over the years. And it has been a generational thing, and nobody better than Claiborne Farm. So Walker and the team are this week's industry star of the week. And this segment brought to you by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. I tell you every week that he wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team because he knows his success is because of you. And he's had multiple stakes horses over the past several years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy. Stuart Morris, your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales. And I welcome in Walker Hancock, president of Claiborne Farm. Walker, good morning, my friend, and happy to have you on board.
Morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, congrats on the industry star of the week. And And congrats on all the success at Claiborne, too. I know that this goes back generations for you and for your family, and it's a special thing, my friend.
Well, thank you. That ad you just ran for Stuart Morris, I obviously couldn't do it without the team we have here. And we've had a great team for over 110 years now. So we couldn't do it without all the hardworking men and women of Claiborne Farm.
I know you weren't there the day that Swaps won the Kentucky Derby, but you hear Billy Turner's comments coming out of that commercial break there, and he talks about Swale's tenacity. I'm sure that you've heard the stories, you've watched the replays. This is a horse that, boy, when he was in a battle, there was nobody better.
Oh, yeah. You know, my dad speaks to him to this day, the tenacity and the grit that the horse had, and it's such a shame that we lost him at such an early age when, you know, he was just getting really good. But you know, we're thankful that we had the opportunity to share the success that we did when he was running. And you know, it's what a racehorse.
Your Aunt Del told the story last week here on the program about how Swale got his name, and that he was found sleeping. He was a very sleepy baby, and that he was found sleeping in a swale out in one of the fields, and you couldn't see him. They thought maybe something had happened, and they found him fast asleep in one of those little swales. So that's the way he got his name, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, they said he was known to be a big sleeper, and I guess one night he laid down and he just didn't really get up, and he wanted to keep sleeping, and they thought something had happened to him, but luckily they found him, and he was just down in the swale, and therefore that's how he got his name.
You know, we've been celebrating Secretariat Week all week long here on the network. It's all been presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence, and they have, you know, done a tremendous job with their relationship with Claiborne too. But Secretariat, a horse that, I mean, when you say his name, everybody, even if they're not a horse racing fan, they seem to know Secretariat. And I told your Aunt Del last week that he really transcended the sport of thoroughbred racing. Do you guys look at it like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're just so lucky that we were able to stand him here. But he means so much to the racehorsing world. You know, I can travel anywhere in the world and, you know, not really be talking to any in the industry people, but they'll always ask, oh, like, you know, Secretariat or something. I'm like, yeah, he's actually buried at our farm. So it's always a great conversation starter. And, yeah, but, I mean, even to this day, like, you still see articles written about him. Yesterday afternoon, I got an ESPN alert about something Secretariat did, or reliving Secretariat's Derby or something like that. So, you know, there'll never be another one like him, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and it, you know, speaks to the quality of our fantasy derby field later this afternoon when you take a look at a 20-horse field and you see Secretariat in post 16, 5-1 as your morning line favorite. And I've had many people email me and tweet to me and say, you give me 5-1 on Secretariat, I'm taking it to the bank all day long.
Yeah, I mean, look, I might have to put my put a lot of money on that. He's got the fastest derby of all time, so, you know, hopefully he can replicate it this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see. 20 horses, 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners, all of that coverage, 5-6 Eastern this afternoon, Sirius 219, XM 201. There are several affiliates, terrestrial affiliates, across the country that will be carrying that full broadcast from 5-6. Plus, you can stream it worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and it's available live streaming at bloodhorse.com. So many ways to listen to that coverage this afternoon, and it's all presented by Claiborne Farm. And I continue my visit with Walker Hancock, president of Claiborne. Walker, first of all, thank you for that support. This was a fun concept, and it's really just it's caught fire, and there are so many people talking about it nationwide now, and with people like Blood Horse and the affiliates coming on board, people have been coming to us saying, hey, can we carry this since we don't have a regular derby on the first Saturday in May?
Yeah, when you brought it to me, I was like, instantly, I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So, look, I'm glad to be a part of it. And, you know, it's what you're doing is great, thinking outside the box. And you're providing that void there that unfortunately we'll be missing this year, well, at least until September. But the first Saturday in May is always Derby Day. But this year, at least, it's virtual Derby Day. So thankful that you're carrying that on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, buddy. Let's talk a little bit about Claiborne and the new era of Claiborne Farm. You, as the president, you have maintained the integrity and the quality, and you've kept things exactly as they've always been, but you've done it in a very difficult time with COVID-19, coronavirus, and you're dealing with all of that, but you're continuing to maintain the standard at Claiborne Farm. How have you done it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, we have a really good team, so they make my job a whole lot easier. We have really good clients. We've been able to bring in some great new stallions that we're really high on, Run Happy and Mastery, and new this year, Catholic Boy, and, you know, so out of some of those, we're hoping that we can carry this farm on into the future, and, you know, it's this is our 110th year now, so hopefully we can make it a little longer if I don't screw it up.
What's that mean for you to take over the reins of such a historic operation? I know it's been family run, but to take over the reins and be the guy, what's that mean for you, Walker?
Yeah, you know, I'm in my fifth or sixth year now, so I have starting to gain a little more experience. But the thing that gives me the most comfort is, you know, my dad's still around. You know, I feel like if I started to go off the track, he's there to put me, line me back up. But you know, he didn't have that luxury. You know, he was kind of thrown into the fire when his dad suddenly passed away, and he had to figure it out all on himself. And you know, I'll certainly give him credit. He's let me kind of take the keys and drive the bus and call the shots around here for the last couple of years. But knowing him that he's still around is certainly comforting, and it's given me maybe a little more extra confidence. But like I said, I'm fifth or sixth year now, so I'm getting the hang of this, hopefully.
Yeah, you're doing a phenomenal job. And of the things that you've been able to accomplish in those 5 or 6 years, what do you think you're most proud of, Walker?
Oh, man, put me on the spot. you know, I'm just, you know, thankful we're still able to get through these tough times. You know, I mean, I think we're positioned well, and, you know, we still, you know, late ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic last year. We've been able to bring in tops, at least, you know, one sire here, our new stallion prospect, just about every year. So just trying to do my best and keep my head down and get through these next couple months, and we'll get on the other side of this and be better.
Talk a little bit about the process that's involved with selecting. This will be an easier question for you. The process that's involved with selecting a new stallion before you bring them to Claiborne Farm.
Well, you know, I think they got a, you know, my grandfather always thought that they had to be winners at two and progress at three, and, you know, maybe we even won a classic and then go on and train on a four. So, you know, we've tried to identify prospects that kind of follow that thinking. You know, thankfully we have some good relationships with some great people that we were able to buy, you know, Run Happy from Mr. McInvale and Mastery from Everett Dobson. And, you know, we're partnered with the Phippses on an exciting sign prospect this year and Performer. So, you know, we have high hopes for him. Once we get racing back going, hopefully he can win a couple stakes for us.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. Talking with Walker Hancock, president of Claiborne Farm, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And you mentioned the new stallions, like Run Happy, like Mastery, some of the younger stallions that you have standing there. But then you have the established stallions, like a Warfront, for example, who has just been a staple. You have Blame, and Blame has done a phenomenal job. But I'd be remiss if on this Derby day I didn't ask you to talk a little bit about Orb, who is a Derby winner for Shug McGahee. And I know that's a special relationship for you and your family, too.
Yeah, that was such a cool moment. You know, Shug got his first Derby win, and well-deserved, long overdue. And same with Mr. Phipps before he had passed. And, you know, same with Mr. Janney. The fact that they owned that horse together was really cool. And it was a magical day, that day he came pounding down through the lane, through the slop. And that the moment I'll never forget.
So how are you going to be spending your Derby day? What are you going to do?
Well, listen to the virtual Derby. What else?
That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
What do you mean,
you know,
no?
It was. You know, we were 1-9 to have a great, beautiful Saturday after it seemed like it's rained the past 15 Derbies in a row. But
unbelievable.
You know, it's a gorgeous day, and it's a shame we're not running the real Derby, but we'll be anxious to see who wins the virtual Derby.
Well, Walker, listen, again, congratulations on being named the Industry Star of the Week on this Saturday morning. You, Bernie Sams, the entire team, just do a phenomenal job, and can't thank you enough for your support of what we do here, and can't wait for that virtual Derby later today. The HRN Fantasy Derby presented by Claiborne Farm comes your way from 5 to 6 Eastern, nationwide and around the world. It should be pretty cool. Appreciate it, brother. Enjoy your quote-unquote Derby day.
Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate all you do and your support of the industry. So keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks, Walker. Walker Hancock here on HRRN. All class. All class. If you were to describe Claiborne and Bernie and the Hancock family, I told you, you heard from Dell last week on the program. You can go back and listen to her interview. Class is the one word that comes to mind for me. And, boy, they do it as good as anybody. All right, going to take another break. When I come back, it's time for your Calling All three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift. Our visit with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon. I'll do that with Master Distiller Brent Elliott. And we'll talk about the Arkansas Derby. That's in the next segment here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com.
You're listening to Secretariat Week on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Undefeated Grade 1 winner Mastery won impressively in his two-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At 3, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe. Now, his much-anticipated first crop are bringing top dollar in the sales ring. Mastery, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Adena Springs homebred champion Macho Uno is a proven source of classic speed and a great stallion to start off young mares. Macho Uno's runners average $88,000, higher than the likes of Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. He's the sire of 5 Grade 1 winners and 3 classic horses, including multiple Grade 1 winning Sprinter and Miler Private Zone and Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man, who is now North America's number one third crop sire, having produced this year's sensational Pegasus World Cup hero Mucho Gusto, along with Del Mar Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 place Mucho Unusual, Stakes winner Mucho Amor, multiple graded placed Bellora, and $575,000 juvenile and TDN Rising Star Fortin Hill. Mucho Macho Man's juveniles average $122,000 at the OBS March sale, higher than Liam's Map, Hard Spun, and Uncle Mo. Macho Uno and Mucho Macho Man, standing the 2020 season for $10,000 at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, getting set for a busy final furlong here in the program. Again, you're calling all three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift just moments away. I'll talk about the Arkansas Derby, and I'll visit with Brent Elliott from Four Roses Bourbon coming up in this segment, and then we'll get set to bring you a very busy day of programming, which begins at 3 o'clock Eastern here on the network. Our replay of California Chrome's victory in the Kentucky Derby in 2014. We'll play our full two-hour broadcast for you, 3 to 5, and then 5 to 6 Eastern, that Fantasy Derby that so many of you have been hearing about for weeks and have been tweeting to us and commenting on for weeks. That Fantasy Derby comes up 5 to 6 Eastern, presented by Claiborne Farm. Time now for your Calling All three-year-old segment. I welcome in Bobby Newman.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All three-year-olds with Bobby Newman.
Today is the first Saturday in May, and although we're not preparing to watch the Kentucky Derby tonight, we are getting ready for a historic renewal of the Arkansas Derby. Not only does the Oaklawn Centerpiece take place a month later than usual, but because of overwhelming interest and an overflow of entries, the race was split into two divisions of 11 horses each, although both Shooter Shoot and Fast Enough will be scratched from divisions 1 and 2, respectively. Both of the flights have a purse of $500,000 and offer 170 Kentucky Derby points, including 100 to the winners. In the first division, Bob Baffert's lightly raced Charlatan makes his stakes debut. He drew the advantageous inside post and should be able to get to the early lead. Both of his previous starts have resulted in dominating front-running victories, and he'll be heavily favored once again to remain undefeated. His main competition could come from Gouverneur Morris, who was recently fourth in the Florida Derby for trainer Todd Pletcher. The second division has the more accomplished three-year-olds, with stakes winners Storm the Court, King Guillermo, Nadal, Silver Prospector, and Wells Bayou facing off. Nadal is the morning line favorite off his impressive win in Oaklawn's Rebel Stakes in March, but he figures to have company on the front end once again today. Breeders' Cup Juvenile champ Storm the Court, Tampa Bay Derby winner King Guillermo, and Louisiana Derby victor Wells Bayou also have a lot of early speed. Add it all up and you've got a great race that's very tough to handicap. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Spendthrift Farms' popular Safe Bet program is back for 2020, featuring freshman sires Brody's Cause, Cinco Charlie, and Hit It A-Bomb. Breed to one of these stallions and watch their first crop of two-year-olds have greatest stakes success on the racetrack this year, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born in 2021. To learn more about the Safe Bet program, visit SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one is Authentic. The son of Into Mischief is undefeated, looking for his next start, probably out in Southern California. Number two, Honor AP, finished second to Authentic in the San Felipe last time out. He's also looking for his next spot. Number three is Tiz the Law, last seen winning the Florida Derby. We'll see where he shows up next. Number four is Maxfield, nearing a return to the races possibly mid or late May, depending on when Churchill Downs opens and what their schedule is. Number five, a tie between Charlatan and Pneumatic, 2 3-year-olds who were both undefeated in two career starts. We will see Charlatan heavily favored in Division One of today's Arkansas Derby. That's your Calling All 3-Year-Olds segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Yeah, and our thanks to Spendthrift for sponsoring that segment all the way through the road to the Kentucky Derby and what would be Derby Day here on this first Saturday in May. Brent Elliott from Four Roses will join me in just about 6 minutes from right now, so it gives me time to talk to you a little bit about the Arkansas Derby. And the Arkansas Derby this year, because of the circumstances with other racetracks not being able to run some of their Derby prep races, a la Keeneland and Santa Anita, who had to cancel those races or postpone those races for a while, races like the Bluegrass and the Santa Anita Derby, the Arkansas Derby has been the home for many of the horses that we would have seen in those other races to compete. And because of that, they've had to split the race into two divisions, race 11 and race 13. Both are big fields of 11. You heard Bobby mention that each race expected to have at least one scratch in it, so we won't have 11 horses go when they go to the post later today. But these races are really, really strong. And the first division, race 11, which has a post time of 5:29 Central, that's 6:29 on the East Coast here, mile and an eighth, they're both a mile and an eighth on the main track. Charlatan, for Bob Baffert, is the even money favorite in race 11, the first division. Martin Garcia will be aboard, replacing Drayden Van Dyke in that spot. And Charlatan, from the rail, is going to have to show speed, which is no problem for him because he has plenty of early lick, and he's 2-for-2 lifetime. Both of those have come in wire-to-wire fashion. John Velasquez joined me in the first half of the program. You can go back and listen to the podcast of this show after I finish up at 10 Eastern. And here's Johnny's comments on riding second-choice Gouverneur Morris for Todd Pletcher. And he said he doesn't want to have to do the dirty work and get Gouverneur Morris in the hunt with Charlatan and try to wear him out and let somebody else come pick up the pieces. He wants to be able to sit off of Charlatan, but he said he's going to be hard to catch because he's the only speed in the race. Shooter's Shoot had some early lick, but he is not going to go to the post in there. So that leaves Charlatan all alone on the lead. He is going to be tough to beat. I'm a huge fan. If you go to our website, you can download Brisnet past performances for today's 20-horse fantasy derby field, but I do it all the time. I'm sitting here looking at my Bris PPs right now. I'm a huge fan of the early and late pace numbers that they offer in their PPs because so many times it shows you. Now, you can look at the past performances and you can see horses that are on the lead early. They got all ones in front of their name, or horses that come from further back. You can see that in the past performances, but they kind of give you a sense of how they do based on the pace, their pace, as compared to the pace of the race. And I think it's kind of cool. And Gouverneur Morris has good late pace numbers. His last two are comparable to what Charlatan has. But Charlatan, his early pace numbers are superior to just about everybody else in the field other than Shooter's Shoot, who is now scratched. So you got to expect the Charlatan is going to be tough to beat. And I know I'm Captain Obvious there because he's even money on the morning line for Bob Baffert, who's looking for his third win in the Arkansas Derby. I think he can get it with Charlatan. I think that's, you know, that to me, if he handles the shipping and if he handles the new track and all those things that are associated with it, which Bob Baffert is good as anybody at getting a horse ready to do that, then I have to believe that he's going to be very, very tough in there. Second division, race 13, is a whole nother kettle of fish. Bobby mentioned it in the calling all three-year-old segment. Very difficult race to handicap. You don't have that clear-cut speed horse. As a matter of fact, you have several horses in here that want to get to the front. And Bob Baffert, here he is, 5-2 morning line favorite, Nadal, perfect 3-for-3, Son of Blame, really tough, but he has other speed to contend with in here. Maybe he can do it. He stretched out successfully to a mile and a 16th, his first two-turn race last time. Now we'll see how he handles mile and an eighth coming up at Oaklawn. And we know he can handle the surface because that last win, even though it was in the slop, it was in the Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn, so he can handle the surface. He's proven. King Guillermo, I'm a little confused by this. 3-1 on the morning line after upsetting the Tampa Bay Derby last time out at 49-1. And he was a monster that day. It was his first time racing long on dirt after racing on the turf his last couple. And he just annihilated the field, but he was 49-1. Now he's 3-1 shipping to Arkansas for the Arkansas Derby. That's a little low for me. I want to make him prove to me that that race wasn't a fluke. I'll tell you who I like in that second division. Silver Prospector at 10-1 is interesting to me. If you throw out his Rebel effort on a sloppy track where he had some traffic trouble too, where he finished behind Nadal, and you go back to the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn two starts ago where he won that race, his numbers stack up favorably. And if you go back even further to his fourth place effort in the Smarty Jones, again on a wet racetrack, he was still running okay at the end, even though he was fourth. His Kentucky Jockey Club race in the slop was really good. I think Silver Prospector is dangerous in there at 10-1. I think that's who I'm going to play. You got to go with Silver Prospector at 10-1. I think that's the value play in that second division of the Arkansas Derby. All right, going to get a hold of Brent here in just a minute from Four Roses, and we'll get a chance to visit with him, get an update on what's happening at Four Roses. They have been closed, if you will, for the COVID-19 pandemic, but Brent, oh, there he is. So he's with me now. Brent, good morning, my friend. Happy to have you on board for this Four Roses handcrafted interview.
Well, glad to be here. You doing okay, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing great, brother. How you handling everything with the situation at hand?
We're doing as well as can be expected. We're back up and running. The distillery's running. We're still bottling. Good. Now, our visitor centers, of course, are still closed because we can't really control, you know, social distancing of our guests, and we don't want to put our employees or the guests at risk. So, yeah, we're just kind of playing it by ear there and just doing our best to ride this out.
Yeah, it's been a trying situation for so many people, and I know, you know, Four Roses is certainly not immune to that. I had a listener write to me and ask me if Four Roses, like some other distillers, would get into making sanitizing products, like hand sanitizers and things like that. Was there any talk about that, or did that happen?
Actually, when the crisis first began, before we knew exactly how bad it was going to get, out of abundance of caution, we went ahead and shut down the distillery. And at that time, and the reason we did that is because it takes about 4 or 5 days to get the distillery shut down. So if we saw a big spike in cases, we didn't want to have the distillery running and not be able to shut down. So we shut it down, and that was about the time when the KDA started working with all the members to take donations for hand sanitizer. And now that we're back up and running, I think the demand has been filled mostly, but yeah. It's still under consideration. You know, if there's a need for it, now that we're running again, we'll explore that.
Yeah, that's interesting. How do distillers make that shift, and how quickly, if there was a need, how quickly could you do it?
It's pretty much done. If you're actually making sanitizer that has the, you know, the, sort of the gelatinous consistency instead of just raw spirit, that's typically better done by a third party. Like, we would just ship the alcohol as it comes off the still to a third party, and they'd add whatever it took to make it into a, like, the hand sanitizer, like, that you're familiar with.
Yep. Brent, you said it takes 4 or 5 days to get everything shut down. How many days does it take to get everything back up and running again?
It takes about a day and a half of prep work, you know, to get all the utilities up and running, get the water ready. And I kind of use the analogy, it's like a freight train. It's kind of hard to get it started and hard to get it stopped. But once you're running, you've got the momentum, and you can, you know, it's much easier to continue running. Shutting down and starting up are both pretty difficult and more time consuming.
Yeah. Talking to Brent Elliott, he is the master distiller at Four Roses in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. If you haven't had a chance to get out there, once all of the restrictions are lifted, make sure you do it. Their visitor center is awesome, and the entire tour is really, really cool. Let's talk some bourbon then, Brent. Now that you're bottling and everything's back up and running, your job as the master distiller is to do what now at this point?
It's about the same as ever. I've been focusing a lot in the last couple of weeks on single barrel selections, and every week is different. It's, you know, it's quality control, whether it's bottling, distillery, mingling, blending. But the last week I've been focusing a lot on, it's 2 weeks, on selecting barrels for single barrel. So, and that never stops, you know, whether the distillery shut down or, you know, spring, fall, summer, whatever it is, we're always selling a lot of single barrel, and we're selling more and more every year. So that's kind of been consuming a lot of my time here recently, is going through hand selecting batches and looking at individual barrels and giving those to bottling to go ahead and use for bottling single barrel.
That's interesting. What are you looking for, Brent, when you start looking at those barrels?
Part of the, I guess, the magic of a single barrel is that every barrel will age differently. Each one has its own flavor characteristics. So I know the consumer expects some variation from barrel to barrel, but you don't want to have something that is so far different from the typical single barrel profile that you're forcing the consumer to buy something that will surprise them. So you want to keep it within that sort of a range. And that range, the flavors are always mellow, smooth, and that's true for all of our bourbons. But we're looking for a nice rye backbone, nice rye spice, some delicate fruit, of course, a nice finish with caramel, vanilla. And oftentimes you'll see some cinnamon, nutmeg, and some baking spices that come through. So, you know, I know it's hard to taste when I'm just describing words, but that's kind of the best way I could describe the flavor profile of what you'd expect from a typical single barrel and what we look for in batches and barrels that we select for that product.
Well, Brent, when people hear you talk and they hear you describe what you just did, it's easy to see why you are the master distiller, master blender of the year in 2020. Icons of whiskey is how we're saying it, and I think that's pretty cool, my friend. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and by the way, if people go to the website, fourrosesbourbon.com, that's really neat.
I appreciate you saying so.
Yeah, great stuff. Brent Elliott with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brent, listen, I hope things get back to normal out there very, very soon. But in the meantime, we'll let people know that you are up, you are running, you are doing your thing as the master distiller. And we'll encourage people to go to the website, fourrosesbourbon.com, to learn more about the products that you're producing. And hopefully when we get past everything, hopefully before too long, we can open up the gift shop and get people out there again.
I certainly hope so. We'll let you all know. We'll be announcing it probably via social media, our website. So as soon as we know, we'll let everyone else know.
All right. You're the best, brother. Keep up the great work, and thanks for taking a few minutes with me here this morning on HRN.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Talk to you soon.
All right. Brent Elliott, Master Distiller at Four Roses. Get to another break. I'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Tappert and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappert, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Tappert set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Tappert ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zophie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Tappert, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the FIPS in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Basketball has Michael Jordan. Hockey has Wayne Gretzky. But which thoroughbred racehorse is the GOAT? Find out today at 5 p.m. Eastern on the HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm. This once-in-a-lifetime fantasy race will pit the 20 best Derby winners against each other in a race to determine who is the greatest of all time. Featuring a full broadcast with HRRN's Eclipse Award-winning team and a live race call from NBC track announcer Larry Colmus. The HRRN Fantasy Derby will finally settle the argument, which horse is the GOAT? The HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm, today at 5 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
The
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Don't forget, if you go to Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet and you check out this week's edition, the May 2nd issue, you can see interviews with Arthur Hancock III reminiscing about Stone Farm as they reach the half-century mark and so many other great stories. Download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet today from the App Store or Google Play. My thanks to all of our guests for joining me on today's program. John Velasquez, Alan Sherman, Tom Leach, and Walker Hancock all made this show possible. Don't forget, this afternoon, 3 hours of Derby Day programming for you. 3 to 5 Eastern, our broadcast of the 2014 Kentucky Derby and California Chrome's victory. 5 to 6 Eastern, it's our Fantasy Derby presented by Claiborne Farm. You can tune in Sirius 219, XM 201, affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and across the country. And yeah, you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey, handling all of our social media. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you later today.